Hi, I'm going to read you a tale of Wiccan tools and whether or not they need them. I hope you enjoy this. This came about from a much older time in Live Journal when friends and I would mess around with this. I hope you'll appreciate it and forgive the voices. Case: a witch without tools is not a witch. Cauldron City, Pagan Lake. Reporting, Athena Moonsinger. Other than trying to track down a lawyer that was missing, Jack and I had a pretty regular week. A few more werebites were reported, but only one body missing a brain showed up. That one was odd. It had a fluffy bunny toy next to it. I wondered what the killer was trying to say. So there I was, at my desk, looking at a bloody fluffy bunny. And since I'm not British traditional Wicca, you know the blood was real. Just when we thought we were going to have a fairly quiet week, the phone rang. This time I beat Jack to the phone by inches. I ignored their solo finger waving. Wiccan police, Athena Moonsinger here. The caller was a newcomer to our little town, Ember Leo. She was concerned by something she had heard. The question has come up twice in one day on the pagan list. Maybe a report from the Wiccan police can clear up whether a Wiccan is powerless without her athame, and indeed, if all pagans even bother to use the tools of the trade. I know the truth, but apparently there are those that don't. I got her information, name, trad, phone number, and hung up the phone. Damn, just when I thought things were going well, we got a live one. We got a live one, Athena. I hated it when Jack echoed my words. Damn mind readers, anyway. I nodded, then shoved the notepad for them to read. Hoo boy! First, we need to discuss whether or not pagans use tools. I agreed with Jack. This was going to take a bit of legwork to untangle. We mapped out who we needed to talk to so we could get around town in the shortest amount of time. To begin with, we went to Rosemary Time. Another local green witch, Rosemary's place was about a block from the station. We took the cruiser anyway. The weather was still iffy at best. Pulling up in front of her tidy little home, we noted that, as usual, she had roses to bloom. How she could get roses to bloom in this weather was beyond me. Then I took a closer look. Silk! The bright laugh accompanying the words was none other than Miss Time herself. They are silk, officer. No green witch worth her salt is going to try to force things out of the natural order. But I do love my roses, so I just stick the silk ones in there until blooming starts for real. Come in. I just put on a pot of tea. She started in the doorway, then turned around. You'll have some, won't you? Jack and I exchanged a pained glance. The problem with Rosemary was that she was always trying to serve various mixes of herbs for her tea, and she used her visitors as guinea pigs. The ones that passed generally got served at Angel's, whatever that new place was, Wonjo, I think, the rune mistress's place. But the unlucky ones who stopped by at Rosemary's were, as I said, often guinea pigs. And the ones that didn't pass were, well, let's just say they didn't pass for very good reasons. Ribbit. There was a pungent odor to the front room. Mint and something else, I couldn't figure it out. Jack had their eyes closed as their nose worked the room. Basil. It's basil and mint. Must be a prosperity tea. You are so right, Jack, dear. You have one of the best noses. Rosemary plunked the tray down on the table, then motioned for us to sit. We did. Tentatively, we both took sips of the tea. Jack added honey to theirs, but mine was fine the way it was. Different, but tasty. Rosemary was on the edge of her seat, watching us. When we both smiled and took second sips, she sat back in her chair with a sigh. Well, what can I do for you today? I explained the problem. Rosemary nodded sagely. Did you expect a green witch to nod any other way? I see. Well, I'm not a Wiccan, but I am a pagan. I have tools that I use all the time. My T-ball, my mortar and pestle, but they don't make me pagan. My heart does that. So I do would have to say, you know, tools are not necessary. They are just tools. But you might want to talk to Lady Ivy. She is Wiccan, you know. We thanked her for the tea and the time. Heading back to the cruiser, Jack and I decided we would stop by Lady Ivy's to see if she would help us. We thought she might still be sore about that Lady Cinnamon incident, but it wouldn't hurt to try. It took us about 15 minutes to get to Lady Ivy's Covenstead. She wasn't home. Apparently, she fancied herself a writer and was at some convention. Her houseboy suggested Lord Ravensclaw. We hired ourselves to Cliff House, where we found Lord Ravensclaw smoking his pipe in the library. He was happy to help us out. "Well, now," great puffs of smoke came from his clenched teeth. "Well, now, isn't that a fine question? If you ask me, it is because we have too many people learning from books instead of people. Books were never meant to be the teacher. They were supposed to assist the teacher." He set his pipe down and looked at us. Huge gray eyebrows sat like caterpillars moving independently above his eyes as he talked. I was fascinated by them. A quick poke in the ribs from Jack had me refocusing on what he was saying. "In my tradition, we do ask that an initiate have four basic tools. The pentagram, a cup, and a thame, and a robe, are what we are looking for in the Black Feather Coven. But we emphasize that the only tools a witch needs are a mind and a heart." He laughed at his joke. "Can't have people thinking we're out stealing brains and hearts now, can we?" Jack and I exchanged another glance. Apparently the burning times was not helping us. That rag kept spreading rumors and half-truths so fast we were worn out trying to keep up. We just nodded at Lord Raven. "Thank you, Lord Raven." We stood up to shake hands. "One more stop." "Just one more stop," Jack and I agreed, and we should have enough evidence. So we headed to Lady Cinnamon's place. Well, she was Wiccan, as well as our governor-in-waiting now. Couldn't hurt to be on her good side. "Oh, I'm so glad you are here. You must be psychic. Do come quick. My poor precious is up a tree again. That nasty Great Dane looked at her. It tried to lick her. Poor precious, come to mummy, dear." The cat wailed about 7 feet over our heads. I whispered to Jack that their mind reader skills were not to be depended on. Then I headed up the tree. 30 minutes later, both Precious and I were back on solid ground. Precious had come through it with only a bit of fur missing. I was going to need a box of Band-Aids. I was sure of it. We told Lady C why we were there. She stared at us for a moment. "Well, I do think tools are very important for a Wiccan, but I don't think you can't be Wiccan without them. I know many pagans who don't use tools all the way Wiccans do. They are a symbol for our unconsciousness. If you have read Mim Esterhadding's The Woman's Mysteries, then you will know what I am speaking about. Or The Sea Priestess by Dear Dion Fortune. It is how we open our subconscious, dear me. Did I say unconscious before? I meant subconscious. Really, but it is how we open the subconscious portions of our minds. And I look at my thame as a battery of sorts. But do I need it? No, I don't need it. I simply like to have it. I'm a things witch, you know. I like my things." It was interesting to me how Lady C could say so much without pausing for a breath. Made me wonder if she'd ever done underwater swimming trials. Once she was finished, Jack and I happily accepted some cookies. They were always the best in town, and headed back to the station. We were satisfied that tools do not make the witch. We can only hope that this report will clear this matter up once and for all. Thank you for listening in to this episode of the Wiccan Police Case Files. If you've enjoyed this, please let me know in the comments. And thank you for sharing. Bye-bye.